Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. We have a texter that said they're angry with Joe Espada for not putting in a pinch runner for Cam Smith in the ninth and being more aggressive on the base paths. Cam Smith is one of the fastest players in baseball on the base paths. You don't pinch run for Cam Smith in that situation. Whoever you're putting in there to pinch run is not going to be faster than he is. So there's that. Payne and Pendergast with you as we head into the 8 o'clock hour. Vanessa Richardson of Space City Home Network. She's covering the Western Conference Finals for ESPN on their digital platform. She and former Rocket Iman Shumpert covering the Western Conference Finals. So she's going to join us at 9 a.m. We'll get a little playoff talk in, certainly some Rockets talk in with our good friend Vanessa Richardson in about an hour from now. So they Pro Football Focus put out a graphic yesterday, Seth. The best player under the age of 25 at each position in the NFL. So there's about 10 players here at each position. I think there's three Texans that would be in the argument for this. I double checked and they're all under the age of 25. I think the three players that would be in the argument to be on a graphic like this would be CJ Stroud at quarterback, Will Anderson Jr. at edge rusher, and Derek Stingley Jr. at cornerback. Mm. I think it's inarguable that they are in the argument for something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Pro Football Focus feels that none of those three, though, deserve to actually be on the graphic in the end. None of the three made the cut to be on the all-under-25 team on Pro Football Focus.
The one that I – this was surprising to me, just that Jared Verse is the guy that they put for edge rusher.
Yeah.
And Jared Verse was very, very good this year. I don't think that he necessarily showed that he was definitively better than Will Anderson. And I don't want to go by just sack numbers because that doesn't nearly tell the whole story. Did he end up? He was very, very effective and like played well against the run, really good as a pass rusher. But I would still have to give Will Anderson the nod over Jared Verse
on
this one.
I'm with you on Will Anderson. I think Stingley versus Trent McDuffie also. I can't imagine a corner having a better season than Stingley had last year, either statistically or if you just watch the film of Derek Stingley Jr. and the big plays that he made throughout the season. Like the numbers for what Derek Stingley Jr. allows in man-to-man coverage are eye-popping in terms of completion percentage and passer rating allowed.
I think with McDuffie, probably part of it is just because he was on a unit that, again, just they replaced a cornerback that had left in free agency and were such a good team defensively and so locked down that he gets the nod over him.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm not.
McDuffie's a good player. I'm not angry.
Yeah. Derek Stingley could totally be argued that he should be on this list. Yeah.
Do you think CJ is wired in a way where he's looking at all the love Jaden Daniels gets this offseason and it's fueling him in any way? Because Jaden Daniels is the all under 25 quarterback on here. I would say deservedly so for basing it off of last season. Jaden Daniels was awesome last season, and he led the Commanders to the NFC title game last year.
He broke a lot of CJ's records from just 1 year prior.
Correct.
And then we saw, oh, yep, okay, it doesn't always just go automatically to the next year. So we'll see with Jaden Daniels now. No, I can't fault them for putting Jaden Daniels on there. I don't think CJ's wired that way when it comes to quarterback versus quarterback stuff. I think that this year especially, he's probably really trying to not be affected by that stuff and just keep radio silence on a lot of the stupid talk show stuff, like the stuff we talk about. So he's good friends with Jaden Daniels too.
Yeah, he is. I know. Well, publicly, that's what I was going to say. Like if he were asked that question publicly about Jaden Daniels' season, he will have nothing but praise for Jaden Daniels.
Right.
He'll point out that he's a Cali kid too. Right?
Yeah. They're both Inland Empire.
Yeah.
Like they've known each other forever. Yeah.
So he'll bring that up more so than that fueling him. Although I would guess he'd acknowledge a healthy competition between the two, but not in a bad way, not in a mean way. Puka Nacua is the wide receiver.
I don't want him, man. Honestly, I don't want my quarterback, like, even knowing what an all under 25 team is. In an ideal world, yeah, you want just the appropriate size chip on your shoulder. And maybe your goal is to become known as the best of all time or the best of your generation or something like that.
Yeah.
Like when you get into the minor league lists, like all under 25 team, that no, because then you've got an infinite number of various lists that you are or not a part of.
I wonder how many teams are mad at themselves that they didn't draft Jalen Carter back in 2023, that they let him slip to 9 and the Eagles move up and get Jalen Carter and took the chance on him. He, by the way, is the interior defender on this graphic here.
Ron Hughley texted us, and Ron Hughley, who's watched a whole lot of Trent McDuffie, says he can't put McDuffie over Derek Stingley.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah. So there's someone.
All right, there. I'm outraged. I can't believe that this website. Who is it? PFF. Damn you.
Yeah.
Damn you, you SOBs.
Yeah.
Disrespect.
What the hell?
You know what? You know what PFF is, Sean?
What are they?
They're still put out that we fired Bobby Slowick. So Bobby Slowick, PFF.
Alum.
Yeah, PFF, Pro Football Focus, is where Bobby Slowick worked for a couple years while he was on hiatus from professional football.
Yeah.
And I think PFF, they liked having to be able to walk around and be like, yep, that's right. We're a springboard to success amongst coaches. We're not just a bunch of football nerds like you guys want to say we are.
Yeah.
And the Texans go ahead and fire Bobby Slowick, and this is retribution.
Fire him. They're going to put PFF out of business. Like CJ put the S2 test out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody heard of the S2 test since CJ Stroud got drafted? Nope. Derwin suggesting on the text page maybe injuries for Will Anderson hurt him. He only missed a couple of games each year, and then he sat in week 18. I don't know. I mean, Jared Verse had a really good season. He was he was a defensive rookie of the year. Jared Verse is a really good football player. But Will Anderson, Seth, I took the segment we did yesterday where we were talking about Houston sports body parts that we get nervous about getting injured all the time, and you added Will Anderson's ankle to the list, appropriately so. I turned that into an article for the Houston Press yesterday, and I went and looked up the injuries because I had C.J. Stroud's one concussion that he's had, but I'm always nervous anytime my quarterback goes to the ground and hits his head. I'm always, especially if you've had a concussion. The C.J. concussion and both Will Anderson Jr. ankle injuries,
mm-hmm.
MetLife. All those injuries happened. Now, the one this past season with Will, Neville Hewitt rolled his ankle, so it's hard to blame that on the turf. But the first one, his rookie year, he just walked away from MetLife, limped away from MetLife with an ankle injury. And CJ's head getting slammed down on that concrete turf.
That turf in general, not known as the best turf in the world already. And then the Texans, going into that game last year, a lot of people just still had PTSD from that concussion.
Yeah, so both injuries to Will Anderson and CJ, all at the Jets.
They didn't have PTSD. They had actual post-concussion syndrome as a fan. Right.
Someone says, didn't Stingley just make the All-Pro team? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, no, but PFF, they have to go by their grades and everything and show this, that, and all the others. So, so Jared Verse graded out higher on PFF than Will
Anderson.
That's
probably what it was. I guess that had to be what it is. The other thing, I guess, like how many players for the Texans do you think are in the top 10 at their position conversation? I think all three guys that we just mentioned there are in. As we look at the Texans' overall talent level,
not on the under 25,
not
just
under
20,
just overall. I would put Danielle Hunter in this category. Like Danielle Hunter's 30. I think he and Will are both top 10, or at least in the conversation. I haven't power ranked them or anything like that, but just in trying to get a grasp for what's this team's core talent level. How well spread out is it, too?
Well, that's where I think when you talk about the money positions are the ones that are most important.
Yeah.
The edge rushers and the defensive backs, or the cornerbacks on defense. I think they're in really good shape at edge rusher. I think that Derek Stingley, obviously top 10. Kamari Lassiter not there, but potential to be. So Derek Stingley, Danielle Hunter, I wouldn't put Will Anderson quite yet at top 10. I think he's very capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nico, when he's healthy.
If
he plays 17 games, 100%.
Yeah. What about Joe Mixon? Is he in the conversation for top 10 running back?
I don't think so. Not anymore, right?
No. I don't know. You know, there's here's the thing.
Top 10 is like, yeah.
There's, like with running back, there's, you know, running back, there's so few guys that get the workload anymore where you'd call him a top 10 running back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking maybe Mixon's in that conversation. So maybe Mixon, Seth, behind a better offensive line is in that conversation. Like Joe Mixon did what he did last year largely on his own. You know, he made that offensive line look better at times. Where is C.J. Stroud, do you think, in this conversation right now?
Stroud is – he's right on that fringe for – he's been in that area of like, hey, I don't think he's quite top 10 based on last year's performance. I mean, based on last year's performance, yeah. With all the excuses, you know, and legitimate explanations for it, he wasn't a top 10 quarterback last year. So I would say he's probably, without going through the actual names, I would put him somewhere – objectively 11 through 15.
Yeah, it's, I think the upper end of 11 through 15 is what it feels like right now with him.
Yeah.
You know, you think of all the guys that made it to his stage of the playoffs that he got knocked out at last year. You know, like Mahomes definitely ahead. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Like he might be he might be 6th or 7th in the AFC right now. You know, like before you've even talked about Jalen Hurts and, you know, Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford and guys like that over in the
NFC. Yeah, I can't. I mean, when you get down to, you know, if just go by QBR, just whatever, randomly we'll pick that one. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, can't put him up there yet.
Nope.
Jaden Daniels is debatable, very debatable. But, basically, you know, then Jordan – this is where the arguments get interesting. You got Jordan Love, then Jared Goff. So I still can't put – CJ above Jared Goff right now.
No.
Jared Goff's in a really good situation, but still, he's also just flat out producing. I would still argue about Jordan Love. Then you go down to Brock Purdy, Pat Mahomes, Kyler Murray. Like those guys, other than Mahomes, they're Purdy, Murray, Jordan Love, Justin Herbert.
Herbert was on a top 8 quarterbacks graphic from PFF yesterday, and I got so mad. I'm like, did Justin Hurt? No, I don't know of a quarterback. Maybe Trevor Lawrence, just based on how much he got paid by Jacksonville. But outside of Trevor Lawrence, I don't know that there's been a quarterback who's gotten more latitude over what he's viewed as a quarterback, juxtaposed to what he has actually accomplished as a quarterback. Justin Herbert.
With CJ, I think I'm going to be – it's probably somewhere more between 7 and 10.
Yeah.
Just because there is a big old muck of viable but unexciting quarterbacks out there these days. And I feel like he's at the
– So he might be top 10.
If you look at his first 2 years, And I'll take into account the level of difficulty for some of the really good stuff he did do last year.
Yeah.
So he's inside the top 10.
I know I'd rather have – like, you can debate, like, what it's looked like for the first 2 years on a lot of those guys with CJ. I just know I'd rather have CJ than all of those guys you just named. Moving forward. He's
still Jordan Love, Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have CJ than all those guys, especially at age 23 right now. So that's and that's a different argument than is he a top 10 is he a top 10 quarterback moving forward that you'd want to have is different than is he top 10 right now. I get that, but he might be top 10 right now. I think there's an argument to be made.
I feel like you've had it up to here with Justin Herbert.
Dude. It's been that way for 2 years.
Because you've been out there. You're the quarterback. I don't want my quarterback to act like you. You've been out there scouring these power rankings, and you're just getting sick and tired of Justin Herbert being ranked above C.J. Stroud.
I would make a terrible quarterback because I would be looking at these rankings all the time.
Yeah.
I'd be bringing them up in press conferences like Laramie Tunsil does. I would be side-eyeing on Twitter, all the PFF rankings and things like that. You would hate me if I were a quarterback. You would destroy me on the radio.
Guys, he's mentally weak.
You would destroy me. Be obsessed
with... But Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert, honestly, I kind of stuck up for Justin Herbert before the Texans played them in the playoffs. But as I was sticking up for him, I kept realizing, man, Sean's right. Like, you got to go out of your way to explain that, no, it was actually really good that he actually wasn't pushing the ball downfield because he was being smarter with the ball. And it's all these sawed off, castrated opinions about why he's genuinely an elite quarterback.
Yes,
and it's starting to annoy me, Sean.
It was good. I'm glad you're getting on my level when it comes to the Justin Herbert annoyance. It was Jim Harbaugh. Like Jim Harbaugh and the way they coached him last year was, you know, they made him a more careful quarterback. So much was made about the three interceptions that he threw all year. He threw four against the playoff team here at NRG Stadium. He's done nothing. He got blown out by the Texans in the playoffs. He was a quarterback of a team that coughed up a 27-0 lead to Trevor Lawrence, who's the only other quarterback that can get on that same level of overratedness to me. It's, yeah, like I see Justin Herbert still in the top eight, and I'm like, oh God, when is this gonna stop? CJ over everyone, someone says. Well, good for you, Texter. I don't know if that's the case. CJ over everyone, but we're pro CJ Stroud here. I agree with Sean, a Texter says. I'm not sure why Justin Herbert gets all the praise. How is he that much better or any different than Trevor Lawrence? The only thing I'd say about that is that
He's way better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? The biggest thing he's better than with Trevor Lawrence is just being better at football. How's that? The Trevor Lawrence. Well, you just look at the performance. Trevor Lawrence has been the starting quarterback now. In 4 years in Jacksonville, he's twice been the starting quarterback for a team picking in the top five. Those teams, like Trevor Lawrence has been the quarterback on some really bad Jacksonville teams. So... Justin Herbert is another Philip Rivers underachiever in big games. That would be on brand for the Chargers. That would be the type of quarterback they would have.
Yeah.
Someone who just underperforms in big games.
Well, and that's where Jim Harbaugh might be the best coach, is a coach who sometimes just wants to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
Yes.
Become a complete team that does it with more than just the quarterback.
They drafted a running back in the first round this year. They drafted the Hampton kid from North Carolina in the first round this year. Could add Matthew Golden. Could have got yourself another weapon in the passing game. They got a running back instead. All right, 713-572.
To be fair, that texture though, I would say that I think there is a lot of Trevor Lawrence to Justin Herbert that goes for whatever reason uncriticized or unnoticed.
It's weird.
Well, because he's had some good, like with Trevor Lawrence. You know what? It's a fair comparison, only that Justin Herbert is a lot better at being Trevor Lawrence than Trevor Lawrence is.
Yeah.
For one, his touchdown production is way better than Trevor Lawrence. But he does throw, he's thrown about the exact same number of interceptions with a good number, a few more attempts. But he's not that much better than Trevor Lawrence.
I feel like Josh Allen gets criticized more for not beating the Chiefs than either of those guys do for not doing anything. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Wednesday. All right, the latest on Bill Belichick. Does Bill Belichick know that he's engaged? Because that news, at least a report of it, dropped that he might be engaged to Jordan Hudson yesterday. And I've got a little game of Family Feud that I want to play with Seth based on keywords and phrases that are being used to describe Jordan Hudson on the interwebs. See if Seth can guess a few of these. That is coming up next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, this New York Times story about Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick, there's a rumor they're engaged, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's some other stuff in here, man. But if you haven't seen the news or heard the news, or if you're not keeping up with this, I know some of you are. I know how some of you feel about this story. I find it fascinating. Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson, his 24-year-old girlfriend. Jordan Hudson apparently, as Seth told at least one person, that's a quote from the article in the New York Times, that they're engaged, the two of them. Which means if it's just one person she's told, then she knows who the mole is that's squawking to the New York Times. And I pray for mercy on that person's soul.
I saw it interpreted that way. I think that her telling at least one person just means that the writer has talked to one person.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that Jordan Hudson has only told one person.
No, I'm just kind of joking around.
Oh, like I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm just joking
sorry,
around. If it's one right. person, yeah, I'm not parsing that part out.
If she did only just tell one person, then she would know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing she's squawking it to anybody and everybody. It's just there just happened to be one person that told Diana Russini.
Yeah, that told the New York. Well, it's New York Times that wrote it.
Wasn't
Diana Russini.
Sorry.
Yeah, Diana Russini. So there's that, which there is a non-zero chance that Belichick is finding out about this from the New York Times, right? That he's that he's engaged. Like, there is a chance that she might have misinterpreted any conversations they've had about their future as them being actually engaged right now.
Yeah, Diana Rossman is who wrote this.
Okay.
So there's a chance that maybe she had a conversation with Belichick where he talked about the possibility of getting married or something. And then she told a friend, like, we're basically engaged.
Yeah.
And then the weirdest thing of this, I just assumed that it was just internet rumors or what have you, that she had amassed an $8 million real estate portfolio, Jordan Hudson had. Except that it's right here in this article as just like stated as a fact.
Yes.
I kind of just ignored that part of it because I figured that seems like the classic kind of thing that's found out to be bogus.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't putting much weight to it. But how the hell did this 24-year-old get an $8 million
Not a 24-year-old like worked at a hedge fund or anything. Like 24-year-old cosmetologist school graduate.
And then
went to undergrad to Bridgewater State and didn't get her degree. She got an $8 million real estate fortune.
Is like chief operating officer of Belichick Productions or whatever it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for a 24-year-old when they haven't been drafted high in the NFL draft.
That might be the scariest thing. If I'm a relative of Belichick, or more importantly, a future heir of Belichick, that might be the thing that scares me more than any of these things she's trying to trademark. Like, she's trying. The stories in this article are incredible. The Hard Knocks series that they wanted to do, spotlighting the North Carolina football program, which would have been awesome for the school and probably for Belichick himself. That, you know, that is an infomercial for your college football program where marketing is more important now than it's ever been because of the transfer portal and everything else. Supposedly, all the parties involved in that deep sixed it because Jordan Hudson wanted, quote, content approval and partial ownership of the show, end quote.
Right. Yeah. She pulled Michael Jordan on it.
Yeah.
She was like, it's not enough that we just want to, she thought she was going to pull off a Nike, some kind of crew or something.
I mean,
I don't know how you,
does that mean, okay, that's what my question is. Does that mean like literal, like fiscal ownership, or is this more of a metaphorical ownership? Like you own that show, like you're a big part of it. Neither's good, you know? Like, neither is good. She's applied for trademarks, Jordan Hudson has. She tried to for No Days Off and Do Your Job, among other things. But these are phrases that Bill Belichick used when he was the head coach of the Patriots. But the Patriots had already trademarked those things. So she's doing the Taylor Swift thing, where Taylor Swift is going back and kind of re-getting the rights to a lot of her stuff that she didn't have by attaching, in parentheses, Taylor's version to it. So she's trying to trademark No Days Off, parentheses, Bill's version. Do Your Job, parentheses, Bill's version. She's got like five other trademarks that she's trying to get.
She's fighting the man. She's like Amy Adams Strunk in this regard. She's going to fight for her intellectual property rights.
By attaching Bill's version to it, which isn't annoying at all. So there's that. Apparently, this is the funniest part. According to this story in the New York Times, by 2023, Jordan Hudson was around Foxborough all the time. The two of them met back in 2021 and obviously kept in touch, but Bill Belichick was in a relationship at the time. By 2023, that relationship that he was in had fizzled, and now all of a sudden Jordan Hudson is showing up in Foxborough all the time during the season, where oftentimes she actually stayed at the team hotel with Belichick on game weekends. Like, the team would go stay at a hotel. Even at home games, they go stay at a hotel. Right. You know how that goes. They went 4-13 that season.
He was distracted,
the season that Belichick had a 23-year-old Tomcat.
It's like a lot of young men. Well, all of a sudden they discover girls.
Yeah, man.
And they lose focus. Get distracted.
Belichick,
they start
every 72-year-old. Yep. 4-13. Mm-hmm.
Man, I can't get over this $8 million. Is this what the rich and powerful, if you want a girlfriend in this day and age, and you're a rich and powerful man, is $8 million just like no big deal?
Maybe I'm out of whack
here, and I don't know what the going rate is these days to have a girlfriend.
Good to be off the
market.
Feels
like that's a lot.
Good to be off the market. Yeah, I don't have that kind of money. If I had to get into another relationship, I don't have that kind of money. I don't have the $8 million. We could buy like a brick outside one of the stadiums.
It's not like Belichick, I'm guessing, unless he's done really well with some investments. It's not like he's super rich. He's not one of these guys that's, you know, like billionaire rich. He's not
billionaire
rich.
He's definitely not billionaire. I mean, yeah. But he was making $20 million a year the last
time.
Years.
No, he's really, really rich. Yeah. I'm saying he's not like mega rich. No. He's not billionaire rich.
Right.
But he's very, very rich.
Yeah.
$8 million, if that $8 million came from Belichick, that seems like a lot for your
That's
girlfriend.
A big chunk. Like that is the percentage of that, I would imagine, for his net worth.
Yeah.
Starts with a number to the left of the decimal point is not all to the right of the decimal point. You know, that's not, that's 0.034 of his net worth. Like, no, $8 million is probably like a fairly significant, like, you know, like, again, like a,
and
a
I'm
decent
guessing
integer.
He's playing head games with his own son, Steve. Well, both his sons work for him now. They're probably making like below average.
You got to earn
your
way.
I haven't really proved that you earned this salary yet. Yeah.
Who's your daddy? Me. Okay. So I've got this bar graph here. Top keywords and phrases used on Twitter for Jordan Hudson in the last 30 days. This is courtesy of betonline.ag. Right.
This is me guessing how people can be. This is not me and what I'm saying.
Yep.
I'm going to guess what people have said about her.
There's probably, Seth, about 20 words on here. Some of them are nouns. Some of them are adjectives.
Okay.
Some of them are nouns that may not be describing her, but describing something going on in the relationship, that kind of thing. So there's a decent amount of latitude.
All right. I think the first gold digger is going to be up there.
Gold digger is on there. Gold digger is about number 12 answer. Gold digger is definitely on the list. Good job, Seth.
Oh, boy. I'm going to be bad at this. I'm going to be a really, really bad...
Top 18 answers on the board. Here's the question.
I know,
Seth from Gold Digger, what are the words used to describe Jordan Hudson?
Is opportunistic on there?
That's
a dumb guess.
Opportunistic, no. Not on there.
Yeah.
Good guess, though. That's a good guess.
Yeah, but I try to put myself in the minds of the average person being snarky on social media.
Yeah.
Is the B word on there?
The B word. Now I'll say this. We're not going to give a ding or a buzz. These are all phrases that are friendly for the radio. So
Yep. Sketchy?
Sketchy is not on there. Nope. Sketchy is not on there. You got two strikes. Keep it alive, Seth. Come on. Let's go.
I'm horrible at this.
Some of them are just very basic adjectives to describe the relationship. You know what I mean?
Pretty. Oh, pretty? I don't know.
No, pretty's not on there. Nope.
All right, I'm out.
You're out.
Give me what was number one?
Number one, weird.
Weird. All right. Yeah. Oh, that's a simple and easy enough.
Panel flips
it's a weird
over,
relationship.
The panel flips over and you're like,
Wait. So are these words used to describe her or in when writing about
it
her?
It just says top keywords and phrases for Jordan Hudson. So I think these are all the tweets that are about Jordan Hudson.
All right. I was thinking about people insulting her, but people saying it's a weird scenario.
Weird.
That makes sense.
These are the top five answers.
I'll tell you whether they're accurate or not. Weird, yes.
Weird. Number two, controversy.
Yeah, certainly a controversy.
Controversy is number two on the list. Number three.
I was never going to get these.
Number three. I think you would have gotten, ironically, I think the further down the list, you would have gotten a few of them. Like you said, pretty. Hot is on the list. I should have given that one to you. You know what I mean?
I don't think she's hot. I think she's pretty.
That's true. There's a difference. There's a whole episode of The Office about that. Is Hillary Swank hot? Number three. Drama is the number three word on there.
No, I was way off. I was going the completely wrong direction on this. Okay.
There
is a lot of drama.
Drama, no question. Number four, age gap. Age gap. But we could have been here forever. I wouldn't have guessed that one. Age gap.
Yeah, no, I thought it was going to be insults like directed at her.
Okay, how about this one? Strange.
Yeah, that goes weird.
Yeah.
Okay. How many of these are just synonyms of weird?
Here are the ones that I think fit under what you were looking for, like insults.
Yeah.
How's that? We'll do this. Is inappropriate an insult at all?
No, it's not an insult, but
it's a value judgment, I guess.
Yeah.
Gross.
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 Okay.
That's an insult to the relationship, probably.
That's
more
a relationship. That's more directed at Belichick, probably, than her. Yeah.
Manipulation. I don't know if it's an insult, but it's a very negative term.
Well, it's interesting, too, because it's, I think you think, well, this older man's taking advantage of this younger woman, where it feels exactly the opposite. It feels like she's duping this old doofus into something, into a bad situation.
Funny you say that, because one of the words towards the bottom of the list is victim. And I would be curious who they're referring to in these tweets as the victim in this, if it's her, because Belichick, remember Belichick early on, before we knew what her total vibe was? He's a predator. Look at him going after this poor little 24-year-old. Then you find out, like, she is, she's a Tasmanian devil.
Pulling the strings and everything.
I think that victim is probably more Belichick in these tweets than her, I would think.
I wouldn't call it victim at this point, at that age. Like, he's, you either know better or you don't. Yeah. And if this ends up being a disaster for him, like, he should have known better.
Okay, here's just the ones that could be construed as negative. Disgusting. Definitely negative. But that's, again, more the relationship. I don't think you can look at her, unless you find her act disgusting. Like, I don't think you can look at her empirically and say she's gross. You know, she's very
right.
Pretty.
They're talking about the whole situation.
The whole situation, fake. Fake is in here.
That's towards her.
Yeah.
That's definitely towards her.
Exploit.
Yeah, that's towards Bill.
Disturbing. That's towards the whole thing, I think.
That's more towards Bill, too, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But, 18 words, man.
I would guess, is there anybody you think in either of their personal lives who are super enthused about it? I feel like if she were my daughter, I wouldn't be super enthused about this. And if Bill were my dad, I wouldn't be super enthused about this.
You're right. It's hard to pick which side has, I don't think either side is enthused. Which side has any semblance of enthusiasm going on? I don't know her parents enough to say that it wouldn't be them. You know what I mean? They may be like, hey, this guy, you know, we don't have to worry about our daughter anymore. As long as she gets the right attorney, she's going to be fine, you know?
Until another 21-year-old sits next to him on a plane.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know what their binding contract is right now. Apparently, according to the New York Times article, her old man was sitting next to Belichick at the pageant last week, the Miss Maine pageant.
Oh, yeah, so they get along well.
Well, they're enough to sit next to each other.
Arthritis medicine tips and everything.
This guy's like a Maine, he's like a fisherman from Maine. He's probably thrilled that his daughter's dating Belichick, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got access to the guy who won 6 Super Bowl rings. Are you? I bet that guy loves it. All right.
I don't know, who are your heroes that you wouldn't want your daughter to date? Well, you're into wrestling.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Pro wrestling.
No, and again, I'd probably be more like I'm portraying her old man. I'm like, oh yeah, Judy, you should.
You'd have to call her. You'd be like, Judy, we got to talk about this. Now, listen, do you know where to find painkillers on the black market?
Yes,
because he's gonna need some.
Cody Rhodes is gonna need his painkillers. Yes,
Judy, don't be asking him all kinds of questions when he comes in at 5 a.m. from a night out with his wrestling
buddies.
That's right.
My coaching would be so bad. My coaching would be so bad. All right, the Astros can't hit right now. Is it that bad? Because last time they won the World Series looks a whole lot similar to this. We'll dig into the numbers. Coming up next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I thought that we did a really good job. We got him up to 90 pitches early. And, you know, when we did that, I thought we could get in the bullpen and capitalize. But just one of those games. Things didn't go our way.
All right, that was Joe Espada. I'm at the vortex of Astro depression here right now, Seth. I just listened to Joe Espada after a 3-2 loss where the bullpen blew the lead. The TV in our studio here, it's in the 9th inning on the replay of the game right now. So Caleb Ort is on the mound, and he's about to give up a walk-off sack fly that Chaz McCormick's throw was a dribbler. He may as well have bowling rolled it back into the infield. And then, during the break, there's this article on MLB.com, 7 players who could win their first MVP this season. Mm-hmm. And 2 of the 7 are guys the Astros let go this offseason. Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. This is like it's coming at me from every angle right here. Like, they're blowing the game on TV. I'm being reminded of Tucker and Bregman on my computer. I probably go look at my phone. There's a picture of George Springer that just popped up or something like
George
that.
George Springer having a year for the ages.
Oh, yes. My God. Yeah, Bregman and Tucker both in this article here. Ay, ay, ay.
You know what? Tucker at least has come back down to earth in the last month.
Not enough to be out of articles about MVP conversations.
He started off so hot.
He was
going to have to come down It's not like he's been awful, but at least he's been an above average baseball player. Over the last month, he's in the high 700s for OPS.
Okay,
he's not human. He's not looking like the best baseball player who ever lived.
OPS plus, when I looked yesterday, was 148. So you're right. He was on a tear to start the season. No question about that. So that was Joe Espada. Does this make you feel any better, Seth? Does this make me feel any better either? This is through 47 games. Michael Schwab posted this on his Twitter account yesterday. The comparison offensively between the Astros 2022 team that went on to win the World Series and the 2025 Astros teams that feels like it can't hit their way out of a paper bag right now. The 2022 World Series champs through 47 games had a .231 batting average. This version of the Astros actually has a .246 batting average. Higher batting average. Yeah.
You suck, 2022 Astros.
Yeah. Suck on that trophy.
That stat that nobody cares as much about anymore. Yes.
Oh, power numbers a little higher. Now, this all matches the eye test, man. That team had 59 home runs through 47 games. This team has 41 home runs through 18 less home runs through 47 games. And as a result, you know, higher batting average, less power. As a result, the OPS higher, but not by much, higher for the 2022 team, 707 OPS, 693 OPS for this team. They've scored about the same amount of runs, 191 to 189. The big difference with this team, and I think this is where I'll give the 2025 team credit, especially lately, last night notwithstanding, they have shown some pluck, some resiliency when they've gotten behind in games. They've been pretty good late in games, this version of the Astros, and you know, in terms of winning some close games in the end. This version of the Astros has 13 come-from-behind wins, which is saying something because they've only won, I think, 25 games all year. 13 of them they've come from behind in right now. So I say all this to say that the team that went on to win the World Series in 2022 was very similar offensively, maybe a little more pop, but overall in terms of the ability to generate runs, was almost identical to this team in its ability to generate runs, this team we feel so bad. Do we feel like this is an offense that eventually has the potential of an offense that back in 2022 had a healthy Yordan, Alex Bregman, Yuli Gurriel?
I think that, as of late, Paredes is really coming on, and especially in that ballpark, Daikin Park, said the other word. At Daikin Park, I think I've said Minute Maid like 29 times more than I've said Daikin so far.
I said it twice this morning doing my hit on the pole. Yeah.
So, so Paredes, yes, possible, very good upside there. Does Christian Walker stop being a horrible, horrible batter? Sure. Is he going to be Yuli at his peak? It's hard for me to believe it right now.
2022 Yuli is very attainable. He won the batting title the year before. 2022 is last season. He wasn't great offensively.
Yeah. And then Altuve and Yordan, you're going to get a better version of both of those guys.
I hope so.
Over the last two thirds of the season, you just have to.
Yeah.
Unless Altuve has just completely gone off a cliff.
Yep.
It's very unlikely that both those guys don't play better in the second two thirds of the season.
I think the other things too, if I'm trying to be optimistic about 2025, like Walker is the big one. Yordan's going to hit. Altuve, I'm not to the level where I feel he's washed. I'm concerned. The risk of Patrick Creighton calling me asinine. I'm concerned about Altuve. I think the things that I look at, and I try to be positive about this, they're not going to have anything in the outfield that resembles what Kyle Tucker was. They just won't. Maybe Cam Smith hits a groove the second half of the year, but you can't count on that.
They can get, they won't have the hitting production out of an outfielder. I guess the actual work in the outfield. I think Cam Smith might very soon end up being a better defender than Kyle Tucker, just because Kyle Tucker's been kind of lazy on defense.
Yeah, the strictly offensively is what I'm talking about. Jeremy Pena, okay, is this the real Jeremy Pena? Like this Jeremy Pena, I think the two biggest things where this team can make up a little bit of ground outside of the Christian Walker, you know, outside of the guys who've been good, getting back to what their level is, Altuve, Walker, Yordan, I think the things that maybe we look at and go, okay, wasn't counting on this, is Jeremy Pena turning into a very, very, maybe not elite, but very, very good offensive shortstop? And this team, either with Yiner or Caratini or some combination of them, are going to get way more offensively out of catcher than that 2022 team did.
And then also, I think something you already have, I think Lance McCullers has already shown that he could have a horrible performance in the World Series. Like, this is, yes. There are a lot of similarities.
Hand injury for Yordan?
Yes, yes. Yordan had hand injuries that whole season, yeah. And was on the IL stint for one of them, yeah. But also was put in a very good year. It yep. wasn't like a down Yordan year. He wasn't struggling with it like he has this year.
I don't know he's ever had a down year. Like he's been great. I mean, he's having a down year right now for sure, but he's, yeah, even amidst whatever the injuries have been or the, you know, the up and down, you know, I'm out for 20 games and I got to come back. He usually comes back. Typically he comes back from an injury and he rakes right away. Like Yordan, yeah. It's like riding a bike, man. Okay. I'm feeling a little bit better.
It's very, very, very possible. Yeah. There's so many ifs involved with it, though. That's what makes it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And at least with that golden era of Astros, you had the guys that you knew and that you felt good about, and that if people were slumping, then whatever, you know they're going to come out of it. It just feels – everything feels – aside from so many faces being gone, the really uncomfortable part of this year has been Altuve and Yordan playing the way they've played.
Yeah.
While Altuve is bouncing back and forth between second base and left field and everything else that goes with it, it feels a lot worse than 2022.
Yeah, no question. And it's just, yeah, like, yeah, the lack of familiar faces. Like that 2022 team was still, by and large, the core that had gotten you to three World Series in the last 5 years before that. You know what I mean? Like that was like, all right, we've seen these guys. It's slow start. We've seen Bregman hit before. You know, we've seen this guy hit before. We've seen it with our own eyes, that kind of stuff. You know,
this season, the Astros are making me dumber by the day though. I think I'm spending too much time now just trying to figure out ways to give myself a pep talk about the Astros, that I got too many numbers floating around in the head for somebody who's kind of hard of thinking. I feel kind of lost as to how to feel about them. So I'm just grasping for straws.
Yeah.
And stupid.
I hear you. That's the curse of the optimist, man. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Vanessa Richardson, sideline reporter.
That's what they always say about me.
Yeah.
Oh, he's cursed with optimism.
You're cursed for the Astros. Yeah, you are right now.
Sethers,
I think you are. You were the one saying that the last week. You were the one talking me off the ledge.
I was trying to talk you into this.
You're like, they scored nine runs and six
runs. Hitting
and,
offense, yeah.
And I'm like,
John, if there's one thing I know about baseball, is that six games means a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, okay? That's what I'm telling you. That's where it's made me stupid.
Yeah.
I am. I'm like, well, but look at how Rodgers has done over the course of the last 17 innings.
I'm like, Sethy, they just don't hit the ball very hard.
I get onto Baseball Savant and I'm a man with a fork eating a bowl of soup. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm not finding anything good. It's just
oh my God. All right, Vanessa Richardson, sideline reporter for the Houston Rockets. She's covering the Western Conference Finals for ESPN on their digital platform. So she covered the game last night. We'll talk a little conference finals. We'll talk some Rockets hoops as well with our good friend Vanessa Richardson. That is coming up next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.